It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Zooming in once again for our recording today of the Sound Mind show.
Yep.
And you have the had the opportunity recently to talk to a singles group, and you kind of want to talk about singles. And I think it's been a while since you've dealt with this subject on your show. So some of the issues facing singles, maybe particularly how things have changed quite a bit. Did you already have an inkling that might be the case when you talked to these folks? Because they were all younger people.
Well, when it first came up, frankly, the church was having difficulty finding someone that wanted to moderate this group, and so I did. And but as the time was coming up, I was thinking, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Because I haven't been single for 47 years,
right.
And then I thought, and I was thinking, well, but you were single. I mean, you were born single. You did have single years, and right. So if you put some thought into
it, how old were you when you got married?
I think I was 29.
Okay, so me too. Yeah. I was older. I was 31 when I got married, so a little bit older. A lot of people get married, when they're 20, 18 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time there for a while nobody was, but younger people now are getting married younger.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a shout out for a book before we get started. This is a book that I've mentioned before. The name of the book is Slaying Giants. It's written by Kylie McConnell. And that's two C's, two N's, and two L's, Kylie McConnell. I'm just going to read a bit off of the back of the cover. Kylie McConnell is a writer, wife, mother, and survivor whose work explores faith forged in suffering and hope born in quiet places of endurance. Living with chronic illness shaped by a long journey of healing, she writes with honesty, reverence, and deep compassion for those who feel unseen or overwhelmed by life's battles. But it's a good book. It's kind of written as a journal devotional with lots of scripture and prayer. And so if you are one of those people or you know of a person who has really had a struggle in life and you want some encouragement, the name of the book is Slaying Giants by Kylie McConnell. And you can just Google Amazon Books and type in Slaying Giants, Kylie, K-Y-L-I-E, McConnell, two C's, two N's, two L's. Yeah, one other thing I wanted to do before I got going on the topic too today is we have friends as maybe many of the listeners do, friends in other parts of the world that are Christian people that are really suffering, and I wanted to just say let's always remember to pray for them and lift them up. It's easy here in the West to just kind of ignore the suffering that's going on in some of these other countries. And I mean, severe suffering, martyrdom. But one of the things that I've realized in studying The Image of God for the marriage book is that when the Bible talks about being created in the image of God, we tend to think that man was created in the image of God, and then the body of Christ is somewhat like the human body. And I've been learning that that's incorrect. When we're created in the image of God, that implies that the body of Christ, we're created in the image of the body of Christ. So it's the body of Christ is the reality. The human body is the model shaped after that. And so we have to behave just as a body because we are a body. So when those people are suffering, we need to suffer with them and pray with them. So I wanted to say that because there's a lot of things going on in the world today, and they're picking up here with what's happening in Iran, Christians in Iran, Christians in Pakistan, Christians in Nigeria, really up against it now. So I had a chance to talk with privilege of talking with some single folks, and kind of took me back into my single days a bit. And then I was thinking just before the show, single today is different in a lot of ways than single back when we were single. We didn't have iPhones, and we found things to do. We didn't have iPhones, and it was, that's the main thing. But we didn't have a lot of screen time either. Mm. When I was growing up, I think there was one TV in the house, and it wasn't a very good one. And so we spent most of our time outdoors trying to find things to do with friends. And today, friends is a different kind of word. You know, you have social media friends. I even was peeking at an article that said the maximum number of friends is five, or the best number of friends is five. And I thought, I don't know what kind of friends they're. I mean, you don't have typically don't have five really, really close friends, but I hope you have more than five acquaintances.
And we're not talking about Facebook friends, like well, 500 Facebook friends. You know,
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the word friend has become something different. And, you know, Facebook friends, that's kind of an interesting thing. I'm just now thinking of it as I speak. The whole idea of trust, how much trust do you build with Facebook friends, or do you just unfriend them?
Right.
I don't know. I know I've seen a lot of times with young people. In fact, you know, I was thinking we don't even typically, a lot of people don't, we don't even take Bibles to church anymore. We take our iPhones
right. And
look up scriptures in our iPhones.
The YouVersion.
And I was thinking the other day about how when I was talking to this group of folks where we had our cell phones and we were there was a chapter in a book that we were going through, and one of the guys clicked onto one of the AI chat things and got a summary of the chapter, and I thought that was really strange. And it reminded me of a book that we chatted about just before the show here by the John Lennox book, AI, or God, AI, and the end of history. I think it was in that book where he talked about people, Christians nowadays, feeling their faith rather than talking about it, and how the result of that is a shallower faith, not a clear understanding. And it kind of struck me that the Bible that I have, I really treasure it. It's not, I mean, my iPhone is just a tool, but my Bible is the Word of God. I can get Bible verses on my cell phone, but myself, I don't treasure my cell phone. It's just it's just a tool. And so I wonder if something's lost when people don't have that Bible that they hold, and it's their cell phone that they use for all kinds of things, from grocery lists to calendars to social media. And
well, it is a powerful communication tool. And getting back to the subject of the singles, when you say people feel their faith more than they read their, what was the quote again?
I don't know the direct quote, but it was something like people feel their faith rather than talk about it. They don't discuss it.
Yeah.
They don't go deep into discussion of it. They feel, I mean, people do talk about their faith, and young people talk about their faith, but they more, not like I remember, really sitting down with guys over coffee and talking about scripture verses and what do they mean, and taking notes in the church service, taking notes, you know, whether or not you get back to them, but at least taking the notes and marking in your Bible. You know, I had marks in my Bible. Yeah. I wore out Bibles, you know, and seems like.
Well, this dichotomy then with feeling versus talking, that applies to the single issue, in that people just kind of feel their impressions, put their best face forward on Facebook, like you say. They're not talking. They're not talking to real people a lot of times. They're not really talking through their issues face to face. Like I found too, like even the whole thing of email, it's much better to have a conversation in person as opposed to just texting or emailing.
Mm-hmm.
That's affected the single relationships too, don't you think?
Well, it has. And I think one of the reasons that we text and email is because we have our life so full of things now that it's hard to cut out time for a conversation that might turn out to be a lengthy conversation.
Right. So it's just easier to quickly. Yeah, you can't control. I just want a yes and no answer. I don't want to. Embellish everything.
You know, something might come up, and I might have to do something, so I don't want to get into a conversation.
Right.
That's almost has been unavoidable as life has the life of pace is in the mm-hmm. pace of life is increased, and then we find things to fill in. Like we don't, you know, I don't need my cell phone all the time, but I have it with me.
Mm.
When we used to be before even cell phones and before mobile phones, even if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, they'd call you on your landline sometime, you know, and leave a message, and then you would find a way. But now it's like we don't want to miss that text or that. Which the fact that you can do that makes it more busy, because not only is texting more convenient in the sense that I don't have to carry on a long conversation, but because I can do quick things, a short thing, I do so much more of it. And so I fill up the time. But when we come back, I want to talk about one of the things that, you know, time, and a couple of questions for all of us, but for single people in a special way, you know, what do I do with my time and who am I? So I want to kick those around, because those kind of came up in some ways, and I'll probably present them at this group.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're a single person, you need some counsel, you need some coaching, and Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, I do a lot of coaching. That's what I would call that. But 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, people contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is trying to talk about some of the issues facing singles these days. And it came up because he was speaking to a group of singles at his church recently, and it reminded him. reminded both of us the bad old days of when we were single.
Yeah.
And singles have a lot of challenges maybe we didn't have when we were single.
Well, one of the things my wife and I were talking about it over the past week, and when we were single, we met in a singles group, but we weren't in the singles group because we were in love. We came to appreciate one another through the singles group, but we actually, we did things, and we, you know, looking back on some of those single times, I think at the time going through those single years for me, as with a lot of singles, there's a bit of a frustration. It's a bit of a frustration, you know, am I going to get married? Who am I going to, you know, and it's different for gals than it is for guys. You know, it's a different experience. But looking back on it, I think most people would look back and say there were some really special times as a single person, because we were able to use more time to go to rest homes and minister there, and maybe in the prison ministry, you know, helping around the church. We just had more time to do that. Well, there's a number of things that come up in this. A couple of things that came up in my thinking were, you know, we think about, there's that scripture in 1 Corinthians 7 where Paul talks about the people that are married have to care about the things of the world,
right,
and people that are single care about the things of the Lord. And it sounds simple, but there are some challenges when we're single. We don't just automatically think about the things of the Lord. We find ourselves with time on our hands, and this kind of gets back to, you know, now we have the iPhone, so we have we can text and get on social media. So that's kind of, you know, there's a discipline to refrain from that and spend our time. I had it like basically three things that we could think of: time for God, time for myself, and time for others. it's difficult sometimes as a single person, I think, to really spend time with God, particularly now with this.
You think so, that it's more difficult to spend time with God as a single person?
Well, I think it's more difficult to prioritize it a lot of times, because there, particularly if you are anticipating marriage, and so, you know, some of the guys that I've been talking to, you know, they're, every time they go to a singles meeting, they're kind of looking, you know, could it be her? Could it be her? Could this be the one?
right.
And it's like a lot of times, I think, in single life, is it to be the same for people who have been divorced or have had a widow or widower, widowed, and they find themselves in the single category,
right?
But they don't want to be single. They don't feel they don't fit there. They don't feel, and so people can be a little bit anxious. They don't want to be comfortable as a single. They want to move on. Mm. You know, they want singleness to be a temporary place, and so they don't want. It's sort of like, I don't want God to think I'm satisfied being single, because He might leave me that way. So,
right.
So there's that whole aspect of, and so how much time should I spend with God? And the thing is, marriage doesn't fix that. If you don't know how to spend time with God, you're not going to get better at it in marriage. Mm. Not the easy way. I mean, you have something you have to learn in life, whether you're single or married. So it's a discipline, learning to abide, learning to be quiet, you know, be still and know that I am God, learning to spend time. And this is really a form of fasting, where we say, to ourselves and to our inclinations and to our appetites, we say no, and we say yes to the spiritual spiritual nature and the spiritual man. Mm. So that's learning to abide. You know, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done.
One thing that I've noticed too with singles, some challenges they're facing in today's culture. A lot of singles, again, because they're so connected to the internet and making, you know, presenting the perfect person, the perfect self online and all this, and they're cultivating all of this proper image of themselves, mm-hmm. that people become very mm-hmm. risk averse to trying to get to know people. They're mm-hmm. they're sheltered. They're sheltering themselves. They're afraid of kind of putting themselves out there. What do you think about that? Did that come up in your singles meeting at all? It's hard to meet people because they're too afraid to meet people.
It will. There's a thing about personalities being, defense mechanisms. Their personality is an expression of your beliefs about your safety and security. And so personality is really at the down near the core of this, and people typically believe that, you know, well, that's who you are, your personality, but your personality can change. You can be more, outgoing. It's not as easy for all of us. Some are more wired more that way than others, but it's something that you have to push against. One of the things that I would stress to is your world is either getting larger or smaller, and it gets larger by pursuing challenges and relationships, and it gets smaller by withdrawing from those. If you start to withdraw from relationships, your Christian brothers and sisters, your horizontal relationships, you're going to find it difficult to expand on your relationship with God. God wants us to be a spiritual body of believers, not just a bunch of scattered individuals.
Relationship with God and relationship with others, because people are withdrawing. They're withdrawing into their internet world, and they're not getting out there and mixing it up with real people.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I think involvement in things like a church singles group is really good, and to, you know, really get into the Word. I think we're, you know, time for yourself. A lot of times, he had one guy talking about how he feels a little guilty if he spends too much time taking care of himself. But you have to take care of your world. You can't let, and for single people, sometimes this is a challenge because, you know, it's just me. It's just my bedroom. It's just my kitchen, my living room. You know, it's getting a little sloppy. But the thing is that the shame message is tied up in that. And if we let our life go to, whether it's our physical fitness or our bills or our bedroom, if we start letting those things get into disarray, it's going to have a message. It's going to be speaking to us about our worthlessness. And then we're going to find that we're kind of falling short in other areas of our life. And then time for others. I've been looking at that. God's chosen fast, Isaiah 58. There's a couple of verses. It's a great chapter, and starting with like about verse 8 or so, the rest of the chapter is an amazing chapter. But it's talking about God's chosen fast, and just as 7 and 8, if you share your, you know, the question, who am I? You know, where am I going? Who am I? If you share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless to and the poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover them. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then will your light will break forth as the dawn, and your healing spring forth speedily. And it goes on and on.
And where is this? What's the reference again?
The chapter is called God's Chosen Fast. It's Isaiah 58.
Okay.
But God has designed this so that if we will care for other people, our life will begin to make sense. And so that can be kind of difficult for single folks, because if I take care of everybody, who's going to take care of me? Just remembering, though, and really, a fellow was asking me the other day, a friend actually stopped by, he and his wife from Ohio, and they were en route somewhere, and they stopped by for a couple of nights, and we were talking about, he's got some health issues, and, I've got a few myself, and we were talking about anxiety and depression, and talking about one of the things that I've been seeing that works every time when you're single or married, but you single folks listening, when you get into depression, this is what you do. You give thanks and you pray for other people. You serve others and you thank. And you will be amazed how quickly the cloud will lift and God will be in control again. It's just being thankful and serving others. God wants us to be a family. We have to act like a family. In order to, Christ being the head of the body, and we are members together of the body. And it's so important that we behave like that and not see ourselves as just scattered individuals. But it is difficult, I think, to kind of take on that responsibility of caring for others, because sometimes it can feel thankless. But we have to remember that God rewards us when we're serving from our heart.
Last couple of minutes here. Anything else that came from this meeting with singles that was a surprise to you?
I wouldn't say a surprise. Well, there was one thing. We were kind of reviewing a book, and we were sort of reviewing a book. That's all I should say. And the book was stressing celibacy, but all singleness is not celibacy. And I think that, I know some people who are celibates, and and you usually find out you're a celibate later in life, because it's right. Not always your choice.
Right.
It just because you want to get married doesn't mean that it's going to work out. And so we sort of have to be saying, God, whatever you have planned for my life, that's what I want. And but sometimes people find out later in life that person just isn't going to come along. And then I think at that point, there is a gift. God's grace is sufficient. But, just because a person wants to get married doesn't mean they're going to. And just because they want to be celibate, that's maybe not necessarily God's path for them. But so that's just something to consider. I think that as singles, it's just a day at a time. We set our goals in life, but God directs our path. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in our way. So I think there are
a lot of singles wish they were married, but also a lot of married people wish they were single again. So you want to be careful.
Yeah, if I were, if only. Yeah,
yeah, but be yeah. careful that becomes your story. You want to make sure you're happy as a single first before you go out there and meet somebody else. Okay, so people need some help with this subject or any other kind of counseling, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also visit and contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and all of the counseling is conveniently virtual.
Virtual counseling now. Okay, again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for more details. Sound Mind Show with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.